You know, most of you know, if you're members of this congregation, most of you know that I had the wonderful privilege, the great honor of growing up with three sisters. Yeah. It's fun. And it's a rather unique experience. And some of you have gone through that yourselves. And look at us. We've come out the other side and we survived. And we ought to get a plaque for that, perhaps. But I remember growing up that having three sisters, I remember growing up that my mom made a lot of dresses. I remember those patterns being around the house. I remember cloth being around the house on a regular basis. And I can remember my mom laying that pattern out on the floor, laying that cloth out, putting the pattern on top of it, pinning it down and cutting around there and making dresses and dresses and dresses for my sisters. Some of you know what that's like. Fortunately, she never made one for me, but she was busy doing them a lot for my sisters. Now, some of you this morning may look at that and say, I don't have a clue about making dresses. Well, maybe you're into bird feeders. Maybe you're into bird houses. And you can go online and you can find all sorts of patterns, as it were, all sorts of blueprints, as it were, for the building of bird houses. Some of you are more inclined in that direction, perhaps, than you are in the direction of making dresses. And some of you may say, I'm not into making dresses. I'm not into making bird houses. Well, are you into making chocolate chip cookies? Now, I mean, that's where it all gets real. And so if you want a pattern, if you want a recipe, see, when you're following a recipe, you're not doing a whole lot different than what you are when you're making a dress. You're following a pattern. When you're making those scrumptious, homemade, warm, out-of-the-oven chocolate chip cookies, you're not doing a whole lot different than somebody that follows a pattern in building a birdhouse. Because you see, when you follow a pattern, patterns are designed in such a way that when you use a pattern, there's going to be directions that you follow. And you saw in the birdhouse that here's the directions you follow and you do it in this order. There's going to be specifications that are involved. You make the board this long and you make the board this wide. When you use those patterns for those dresses, you got to pin it down, you got to cut it around those edges, and then you've got to use the right seams in order to put those pieces of material together. Or when you're making those cookies, there's those specifications. You know, you notice in the pattern in the recipe for the cookie that it doesn't say to put 3 cups of sugar in. I don't know why it doesn't say put 3 cups of sugar. It'd be a whole lot, but it says put 3 cups of flour. Why in the world do you put all that flour in those cookies? You need more sugar if you're going to follow some different kind of pattern. But in a pattern, there's directions. Do it this way. There's specifications that says, here's how much you need. Here's how long they need to be. Here's the process that you need to follow. And as you use patterns, what's involved in those is uniformity. What's involved in those is continuity. So that when you follow the same pattern, here is my mom making dresses. And every time she'd lay down that, she could lay down green material, she could lay down red material, she could lay down hot pink material. I don't think my sisters back in the 70s and 80s, hot pink wasn't the deal. But when she laid down that cloth, didn't matter the color, and laid down the pattern on top of it, it did not matter how many times she used that pattern, those dresses looked the same. They could be a red dress, a blue dress, a green dress. They were always, look, why? Because there was a continuity. There was uniformity from dress. When you make a birdhouse and follow the same pattern, when you make those wonderful chocolate chip cookies and you have confidence when they come out of the oven, you know exactly what they're going to taste like because you followed the pattern. And when you follow a pattern, there is longevity to it. I doubt today that my mom still has any of those patterns tucked away in her house in South Carolina. She might. But you know what would happen if she still had one of those patterns that's 50-something years old? You know what would happen if she pulled out one of those patterns that's 40 or 50 years old and she laid it down on a piece of material today? You know what could happen? Same thing that happened 40, 50 years ago. And what would that dress look like? It would look the same exact way that it did before. Because that's what happens. A pattern is designed to be duplicated. You follow this pattern, you can make as many dresses as you want. You follow this pattern, you can make as many batches of cookies as you want. And when you follow that pattern, and it's duplicated one after another, they're all going to look the same. There's going to be continuity between them, and you can follow that pattern countless times to produce the same results. You know patterns. You understand that. But what happens if you change the pattern just a little bit? What happens if you come along and say, you know what? You know, these birds around here, they're getting kind of fat, so we're going to have to make a house bigger for them than the one we've been making before. Well, what happens if you change the pattern? Then it's not going to be the same house that you've been building. What happens if you change your pattern to those cookies? Well, you know, we just need more chocolate chips in these cookies. They need more chocolate in. And when you change the pattern, all of a sudden, it's not the same as it was before, even if you only change it a little. Why are we talking about patterns? We could go on and on and on talking about the various patterns that you follow on a regular basis. Why are we talking about this morning? I want to ask you a question. When you pick up your Bible, does God ever use patterns in the Bible? Does He ever give patterns to people in the Bible? Is God interested in following patterns? Get your Bibles out and go over to Genesis chapter 6. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 6. Did God give Noah a pattern in Genesis chapter 6? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, when God told Noah to build an ark, did He just say, go build an ark and just leave it up to Noah to figure out what that ark was going to look like? Imagine what that ark would have looked like if He had just said to Noah, go build an ark. But you notice what happens. With patterns, there is direction, specification. And so in the giving of this pattern in Genesis chapter 6, there is direction and there is specification. In Genesis chapter 6, God specifies for Noah in verse 15 the size of this ark. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. How long did the ark have to be? Exactly according to God's pattern. God gave the size. He gave the exact dimensions. He gave some construction specs that were to be involved in this. How many decks was it supposed to have? Well, you keep reading. You get down to verse 16. He tells him how many decks were supposed to be inside of this ark. What kind of wood was he? He specifies the material. Don't just go make an ark. He says, here's the size of it. Don't just use any material you want. Here's the material. I want you to use verse 14. I want you to build it out of gopher wood. How many windows? One window. How many doors? One door. Notice the pattern. It's as if God is drawing the blueprints out for Noah and laying them out in front of him and saying, here's the pattern that I want you to follow. And so as you're reading verse 14 about gopher wood, in verse 14 about the rooms in the ark, in verse 14 about covering it inside and outside with pitch, and the size of it in verse 15, and the window and the door in verse 16, and the decks at the end of verse 16. And you get down to verse 18, and He says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And not only you in the ark, but in verse 19, you bring of those animals, two of each, into the ark. He tells them who's supposed to come inside. Did Noah have a pattern? He most certainly did. Did Noah follow the pattern? Look at the very last verse of the chapter. Thus Noah did. Did what? According to all that God commanded him, so he did. He did what? According to what God commanded. When you read that expression, according to, that's a pattern phrase. He did according to what God told him to do. God laid out the pattern, the blueprint, and that's exactly what Noah produced. He did according to what God said. You go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you read that expression according to over and over. What did the fruit trees bear? They bore according to however God meant. What about the animals? How did they reproduce? According to however God created them. And so where do bunnies come from? They come from God's pattern. where you got bunnies over here, he produces. Where do apple trees come from? They come from God's pattern. They produce more apple trees. So where did Noah's Ark come from? It came from a pattern that God gave to Noah. What if Noah had changed it just a bit? Just a bit. All right, Lord, I see what you're saying. I see what you want. I see you want it 300 cubits long, but if Mrs. Noah's going to be in this ark for a year and 17 days, Lord, if Mrs. Noah's not happy, nobody's happy, Lord. And so we're going to get, Lord, I'm going to give you your 300 cubits because that's what you asked for, but I'm going to give Mrs. Noah her 50 cubits, just a little extra. I'm going to go the extra mile for you, Lord. And so we're going to go 350 cubits long. And I know you said go for wood, but Mrs. Noah and all those animals in there, Lord, her chamber's going to be lined with cedar, you know, and it's going to be extra special for her. What if he just changed it a little bit? Then it's not the Lord's ark anymore. It's not following the Lord's pattern anymore. He's following his own ideas, his own inclinations, his own pattern. And according to verse 22, Noah didn't do that. He did exactly what God told him to do. Look over in Exodus chapter 25. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 25. And when you get over to Exodus chapter 25, God is giving another pattern. In Exodus chapter 25, God is giving a pattern to Moses. And here's Israel camped around Mount Sinai. And we know Exodus chapter 20 better because that's where we read the Ten Commandments. Well, it's during this same time frame when God gives the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. And as they're camped around Mount Sinai for this year that they're there, that God gives them instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And in giving the instructions, God gave him a pattern. Look at the pattern. And we're not going to look at all of this because it starts in chapter 25 and goes for the next several chapters down through about chapter 31. And in those chapters, all you're reading about really is just the pattern. Chapter 25 through verse 31 is God laying out the blueprint for every single facet of this tabernacle. And then it's the rest of the book of Exodus where Moses is building, where the Israelites are building this. But does God do the same thing? He does the same thing as he did with Noah. He lays out the pattern and says, here's the size that I want it to be. Here's the size. It's to be 10 cubits wide, 15 feet wide. It's to be 30 cubits long, 45 feet long. It's to be 10 cubits high, 15 feet high. He tells him the size it's supposed to be. He tells him the materials. He's, what kind of, can he use any old, not gopher wood, nope. I want you to use a different, I want you to use acacia wood. But I don't want you to, when you use that wood and you cut it to the lengths that I tell you to cut it to, I want you to cover it with gold. And God lays out all of these materials, all of these construction specs where he tells them exactly how long things are supposed to be, where he's supposed to put them. Hell tells them how they're to carry them, where they're to put these hooks, where they're to put these handles in order to carry all of these implements that are involved in the tabernacle. Does he tell them who could go into the tabernacle? Just like the ark. He tells them who could go into the tabernacle. Into that first chamber, into the holy place. The priests were the only ones allowed to go in there. But in the most holy place, oh, that room back there, the 10 by 10 by 10 cubits room, yeah, only the high priest can go back there. And only once a year can he go back there. God specifies over and over the details for this pattern. So look in chapter 25, verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Look in verse 9. According to. What's that phraseology? That's pattern phraseology. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. I'm giving you the blueprint, I'm giving you the pattern for this, and just so you shall make it according to exactly what I have told you. So look down as you continue to scan through this chapter. Look down. Let's just look in the last verse. We could see this earlier in the chapter as well. But just look in the last verse of this chapter. See to it that you make them according to what? The pattern which was shown you in the mountain. Look in chapter 26, the middle of chapter 26, verse 30. You shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. What did God give to Moses at Mount Sinai? He gave them a pattern for the building of the tabernacle. Well, did Moses follow that? Go to the very last chapter of the book of Exodus. Go all the way to the end of the book of Exodus. And you get to Exodus chapter 40. You have all of these chapters for the pattern. And then you get all of these chapters for the building of the tabernacle. And in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 16, what does it say? Thus Moses did. Sounds exactly like Noah, right? In Genesis 6, thus Moses did according to the pattern phraseology, all that God commanded him, so he did. Did Moses change anything? What if Moses had changed just one little part of that pattern? Then it would not have been the tabernacle that the Lord told him to build. It would have been Moses' rendition of that tabernacle, but it would not have been the Lord's tabernacle. You see, with patterns, there are directions and specifications. And those directions and specifications, they cannot be changed. Because if they're changed, then you're not following the pattern anymore. And with that pattern, there is continuity, there is uniformity, there is longevity to it. So when God gave Noah this pattern for the ark, when he got out of the ark after 100 years of building and a year and 17 days inside the ark, when he came outside of the ark and he saw all of the land that was there, could he have opened like an ark dealership and just started building ark after ark after ark and just following? I mean, he could have, right? Did he have a pattern? He could have followed a pattern and made his, if he wanted to, and made as many arcs. He didn't, but he had a pattern. And what would those arcs have looked like? If he followed the pattern, they would have looked just like the first one that he built. What about Moses and the tabernacle? Do you know they used that tabernacle for 500 years? You know what that tabernacle is covered with? It's covered with cloth. Hey, any of your clothes lasted 500 years? Anybody's? Any of your clothes lasted 400 years? 300 years? Do I hear 200 years? Any of your clothes last 100 years? What happens to your clothes? Your clothes wear out. What do you think happened to some of those parts of that tabernacle after hundreds of years? Well, what if he had to replace a part of the tabernacle, just a piece of it? Could he go back to the pattern? Find how the original was supposed to be and put it right back in place just as God designed it to be? He could have, because God gave a pattern. Is it always evident? Is it always evident when a pattern is not being followed? You think you could tell if a pattern was not being followed in the way that it was supposed to be? Turn your Bible over to the book of 2 Kings, Old Testament book. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, you're reading about a king by the name of Josiah. And what we find out in the lifetime of Josiah as king is that it became very evident that a pattern was not being followed. And long story short, when it comes to this period of time in 2 Kings 22 and 2 Kings 23, those two chapters, is that the book of the law, let's just call it the Bible, the book of the law called the Bible, it was found. You know what? It had been lost. Have you ever lost something and you couldn't find it? You put an Apple tag on it so that you wouldn't lose it again. They didn't have an Apple tag. They didn't have an. They forgot to put that on the book. So it got lost. You know where it got lost? In the house of God. Go figure. They lost the Bible in the house of God. What a place to lose it. And then they found it. And as they started reading through the Bible, as they started reading through the book of the law, you know what they realized? Oops. We're not doing what we're. How do you know? Look in 2 Kings chapter 23, and look in verse 22, and then we're going to expand on this. 2 Kings 23, verse 22. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. They opened up the book of the law, they read about the Passover, and you know what they realized? Hang on, guys. You mean that's what the patterns? We haven't been doing that since the days of the judges. Here's Josiah all the way at the end of the period of the divided kingdom. And he says, it's been 500 years since we kept the Passover that way. How did they know? that they weren't keeping the Passover right because they opened up this book. Look in the verse right before it. The verse right before it in verse 21. The king commanded all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God. Look at this. As it is written in this book of the covenant. They had not been keeping the Passover the way that this book said to do it. And so when they realized that, they said, hang on a second. Let's go back to the pattern. And could they? Could they go back and keep the Passover exactly as God told them to keep the Passover all the way back in the book of Exodus? Yes, because all they had to do was open it up and duplicate that pattern. Restore that pattern the way that it originally was designed. Turn your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 8. You want to see another pattern? It was not being followed. And there's more verses on the screen for 2 Kings. We just don't have time to look at them. But they all say the same thing, that they went back and they were reading the book. And in the book, they were finding where they were missing following that pattern. But look in Nehemiah, Old Testament book, Nehemiah. You read about Ezra coming and reading from the book of the law. And what I want you to do is just zero in with me on one verse in Nehemiah chapter 8. Look near the end of the chapter. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths, they made tents, and they sat under the booths. They sat in the tents. Well, why are they doing that? Look at the rest of the verse. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Wait a minute. He's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. You mean they hadn't been keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? They hadn't been building these booths and dwelling in them for 7 days? How did they figure out that they had not been doing this for all of those years? Keep reading, verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. Go back to verse 14. They found written in the law. Isn't that interesting? What happens when you open the Bible and just read it? That's all they did. Ezra comes to town. He reads from the book of the law. They found written in the book of law what God wanted them to do. And verse 18 says, day by day, they're reading from the book of the law. And what did they do? The middle of verse 18 says, they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly. Underline this in your Bible in verse 18. They kept it according to the prescribed manner. What's that? That's a pattern. They went back. It had been 900 years since they had kept the Feast of the Tabernacles in the way that it was supposed to be kept. But when they opened this book and they found what they were supposed to be doing, the prescribed manner, when they found the pattern, they went back and did exactly. Why? Because patterns have directions and they have specifications. And when you open it up, you can find them. And patterns have uniformity, continuity, and longevity. So it didn't matter that 900 years had passed. Did not matter. They could go back and keep it the same way that it was originally designed to be kept. Why are we talking about all that this morning? Because you already saw the title slide earlier today. Because in this book, God doesn't just give a pattern for an ark. He doesn't just give a pattern for a tabernacle. All of those things are merely, the Old Testament would say, the New Testament would say, all of those things are merely a shadow of the real thing that was to come, and that's the Lord's church. If God was so interested in the ark being made just right, the right size, the right materials, the right construction specs, and the right people going into it, if God was so concerned about the tabernacle being made just right according to His pattern, the right size, right materials, right construction specs, and the right people going into it, if He gave all of these patterns for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the Passover, and everything else the Jews were doing, if He was so concerned about all of that, do you think He got all the way down to the New Testament time when the church was going to come and He said, you know what? Never mind. You all do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to give you a pattern. You think that's what the Lord would do? It's not what the Lord did. You see, the church is not just something that God had in mind. The church is the eternal plan of God. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3. I used to say, and I'll probably catch myself saying it even today, I used to say that the church was a part of God's eternal plan. But I was taking the word part and I was inserting that in there. The Bible does not say that the church was part of God's eternal plan. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, where the Bible says that God wants to make all to see. Ephesians 3 and verse 9, God wants to make all to see. What is the fellowship of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God. God had a plan that was not completely unfolded, but he was telling about this throughout the prophets in the Old Testament. But he had this plan, this mystery that from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus, verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be... These things were hidden, in verse 9 says, in days of old, but now they are... You see the word manifest in verse 10? That's a different word than the word hidden. They used to be hidden, but now everything is being manifest. Everything's being made known. Everything is being proclaimed and declared. Well, what is it? That the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by what? The church. To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Look in verse 11. According to. Remember what we said about that phrase? That's pattern terminology. According to the pattern for the ark. According to the pattern for the tabernacle. That same phrase was over there. According to his eternal purpose. God had a pattern from eternity. Before he ever created the world, God had a pattern. And that pattern, that eternal purpose, was the church. The church wasn't a part of that plan. The church was that plan. The church was his eternal purpose. His plan from the beginning was to send Jesus to die on the cross. He had that plan before he ever made man, before Adam and Eve ever sinned. God had that plan to send Christ. And Christ died on that cross. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says, he shed his precious blood. And that was the plan before the foundation of the world. And that same blood that purchases us from our sins purchased the church, Acts 20 and verse 28. That was God's eternal plan. Do you think God just left it up to us to decide what his church would do, what his church would teach, what his church would look like? If he didn't leave it up to Noah or Moses, why in the world do you think he would leave it up to us? He didn't leave it up to us to decide what that church would look like. He gave us a pattern. He gave us a pattern in this book that 2 Timothy chapter 3 says is directly from God. All Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. Why did he give it to us? Verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3 says that the man of God may be perfect, may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I pick up this book, I'm thoroughly equipped. You are thoroughly equipped with everything that God wants us to know about how to live, how to serve him. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does that include his church? Most certainly. It includes his church. And in this pattern, Revelation 22 verse 18 and 19, God says, don't you add to it and don't you take away from it. Did Noah add to the pattern? Did Noah take away? Did Moses add to the pattern? Did he take away? If they had added or taken away from God's pattern, would it have been God's ark? Would it have been God's tabernacle? No. Wouldn't have been. What if we add or take away from God's pattern today? Would it be God's church? No. Be our church. So that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not go beyond. Some translations say, do not think beyond that which is written. I've got the pattern. And I love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul tells Timothy, he tells us, to hold fast, listen, look at it, underline it in your Bible, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. What does God call the Bible? He calls it sound words. And in that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, hold fast to this pattern of sound words. What does that indicate? That indicates that if I were to take this book like my mom used to take those patterns, if I were to take this book and to lay it down in West Palm Beach and cut around West Palm Beach and remove the book, you know what church would be there? It'd be the church that this pattern left. If I took this book up to Orlando and I laid it down in Orlando like my mom used to lay that pattern down on the green cloth, and if I were to cut it around that pattern, I took the pattern away, you know what would be left right there in Orlando? The church that this pattern leaves. Whenever you follow this pattern, guess what is left? The same thing that's left when you make that chocolate chip cookie based upon that pattern. Same result. And so we don't have time to develop these, but I'm putting them on the screen for your benefit, and you can go back and look at these later. But inside of this pattern that God has given to us, inside of this pattern that God has given to us, he talks about the singularity of his church. That's a part of this pattern, is the singularity of his church. And so when I follow this pattern, I lay this pattern down and I follow this pattern, I don't come away with more than one church. The verse that Jimmy read for us this morning, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. How many churches did Jesus say? You know the answer to that. He just said, I'm going to build my church, singular. The Lord only put one church on the face of this earth. In Acts 2, when the church was established, which church was that? It's the only church that ever existed. The church that Jesus died for, purchased with his own blood. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says that there are to be no divisions in the Lord's church. None. If all I ever do is follow this pattern, how many churches will this pattern create? This pattern will only create one church. What about the doctrine of this church? What's the pattern? What's the pattern for the doctrine? Can this church just follow any doctrine that it wants to follow? That same verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I plead with you that you all speak the same thing. What's the pattern? What's the doctrine for the pattern of this? The same thing, not something different. And so if the Lord's church all teaches the same thing, there will be no divisions in the Lord's church. Well, how can no divisions come to the Lord's church? They all teach the same thing. In that same book, in a church that's dealing with division in the city of Corinth, in that same book, Paul would emphasize this pattern for the doctrine of Christ, when he says in chapter 14, he says, as I teach everywhere in every church. What is that? That's a pattern. What I teach here, I teach here, I teach here. Chapter 7, verse 17, he says, as I ordain in all of the churches. What is that? He's ordaining. He's teaching. The same thing he taught everywhere else, he's teaching in all these other congregations. Chapter 16, it's in chapter 14, verse 33 as well. But in chapter 16, verse 1, I love how he says, as I gave orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. What's that? That's a pattern. He says, as I gave commandment to the church of Galatia, you're to follow that same pattern over here. And when this church in Galatia follows the same pattern the church in Corinth follows, guess what they are? They're the Lord's church. They're not teaching any other doctrine. They have no right to, Galatians 1. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I want you to charge them that they teach no other doctrine. What's that? That says there's a pattern to this book. No other doctrine and any other doctrine will not do. When I pick up this book and I follow the pattern, there's no other doctrine that can be taught. When I pick up this book and follow the pattern, how is that church going to be organized? It's not going to have one organizational structure in one place and another organizational structure in another. That's not the way a pattern works. When you lay down this pattern, you cut around this pattern, and you pull it back, what are you going to see? You're going to see a church that's organized with Jesus Christ as head, with elders who oversee and shepherd the flock, with deacons who serve, and men who preach, because that's the pattern. And that will be the pattern no matter where you take the... It doesn't matter if you take this pattern to Nigeria. It doesn't matter if you take this pattern to Australia. It doesn't matter if you take this pattern 1,000 years back or 1,000 years forward. It still creates the same church. It creates the same organizational structure. It will create the same worship. Wherever this church goes, wherever this pattern goes, the worship will look the same. The worship, the church will assemble on the first day of the week. They will engage in the same five avenues of worship led by Christian men because that's what this pattern dictates. Perhaps it could be that a group of people would be worshiping in a certain way and they might find the book of the law that had been lost. And they might open the book of the law and read through it, and perhaps a group of people could do that and read through it and realize, hang on a second. We're not following the pattern that's found in this book. Same thing that happened in Josiah's day. Wait a minute. We haven't been keeping that law, that feast, the way God's, and we're going to go back to the... Isn't that what somebody should do today? If they were following this book or didn't realize that they had not been following this book. And they opened up this pattern and realized, hang on, that's what the pattern says? Let's just go back and do what it said to do. You see, everything that's involved in this pattern involves directions, involves specifications, involves uniformity, continuity, and longevity. So no matter how many times this pattern is applied, it creates the same church. And so, as we close, it's the same thing when it comes to the entrance. Isn't it interesting? God told Noah. I know some of you just checked out, didn't you? When you said, as we close, those are like your favorite words in the sermon, right? You're like, all right, we're almost there. And you're like, click, click. All right, let me get you to click back on for just a few minutes, okay? Isn't it interesting? God gave a pattern to Noah, and he gave a pattern for who was to enter into the ark. He gave a pattern to Moses for the tabernacle, and a part of that pattern was who was to enter into the tabernacle. Do you think the pattern for his church would be any different? He gave a pattern for his church and for who would enter into his church. And as you look at this list on the screen, this word salvation, this word into Christ, this word into the church, these are all the same. There's only one path into salvation, only one path into Christ, only one path into church. You know why? Because salvation and in Christ and in the church are all the same. You don't have one without the other. And that's why the last line says salvation is only found in Christ. Salvation is only found in the Lord's church. Ephesians 5, verse 23, that says that Jesus is not only the head of his church, the one head of the one church, he's the Savior of it. He's the Savior of the body. Jesus has saved those who are in his church. Only those who are in his church have been saved by Jesus. And there's only one way to get in there. How many ways were there to get into Noah's ark? Some of you are going to argue with me because that's just the way you are. Well, there's a window, and the bird flew out, and the bird flew in, so there was two ways. No. How many ways were there to get into that ark? There was one door to get into that ark. How many ways were there to get into that tabernacle? If you tried to sneak it through the back, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to be dead is what's going to be big trouble. There's one way into that tabernacle. How many ways are there into the church? There's just one. And that way involves believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's essential. That way involves repenting of your sins. Making up your mind, I'm going to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. I listened to a radio preacher on the way here this morning who said that repentance is not necessary in order to be saved. And I thought, you're not following the pattern. That's not what the pattern says. pattern says, repent in order to have the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. The pattern says that repentance is essential, and otherwise I perish, in Luke 13, 3. That's what the pattern says. Pattern says I must confess my faith in Jesus, and the pattern says I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. And that's how I obtain salvation. That's how I get into Christ. That's how I get into His church, is through the New Testament baptism, not just some old baptism, the baptism that we read about inside the pages of this book. And when I'm raised from the waters of that baptism, this pattern says I need to live a faithful life to my Lord. And God lays out a pattern for what I need to do every day of my life as a Christian. I wake up in the morning. You know what I need to do? I need to check the pattern. How does God want me to live today? Patterns. You see it in dresses. You see it in birdhouses. You see it in the Bible. Patterns have directions and specifications. God's patterns have directions and specifications. Patterns allow for uniformity and continuity, and they're guaranteed that for longevity, that no matter how often it's used, it's going to create the same thing. But if you change it just a little, then it's not what the pattern was designed to create. Israel changed God's pattern. And after 500 years, they went back to the pattern and realized, oh, wait a minute, we're not doing it right. And so they picked up the pattern and they went back to keep the Passover right. Israel changed God's pattern, and after 900 years, they picked up the pattern and said, oh, wait, we haven't been keeping that pattern right. We need to go back and keep the Feast of Tabernacles the way the pattern originally said to do it. When you look around at the religious division that exists today, the religious division, remember what God said, no divisions among you? The religious division that exists because not everybody is teaching the same thing. If individuals who are involved in religious division, if individuals who are involved in man-made organizations, man-made churches, if they would just open the pattern, the prescribed manner, and look at God's pattern, could it be possible that they could say, you know what? We're not following this pattern. We need to stop what we're doing, and we need to go back and do what the pattern says to do. May God be that. May God help us to be that, be our desire, that we will hold fast to the pattern of sound words, that we will love them, respect them, follow them, and if we have missed them anywhere, restore that pattern the way that God gave it. Is your life following this pattern? If you haven't been baptized according to this pattern, if you're not living a life of faithful living according to this pattern, then get your life right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.